Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. It is time to get some trusted insight from a trusted insider, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective only here on Grant and Danny. And our trusted insight and our insider today comes from Austin Eckler, running back with the Commanders, who had another tremendous game on Monday night in the Jaden Daniels coming out party in Cincinnati before getting banged up and headed to the sideline and leaving the game with a concussion. So, Austin, we got to start first by just checking on our guy. How you feeling?
I'm getting there, man. Concussions obviously are a big deal in the NFL for a good reason. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things you kind of have to just kind of feel out how your recovery is going. Mine's still coming along, but hopefully be back in, you know, a few days or so.
How much better do you feel now than the night of on Monday?
Oh, wow. Monday definitely was disoriented, you know, had a ton of different symptoms going on. So have made major progress since then. So that's good.
Good.
Feeling more like myself. So yeah, definitely made a lot of progress since Monday night.
Austin, to the extent that you're willing to kind of share, because I think the word concussion for a lot of us who are, you know, putting fantasy lineups in and seeing that Q next to people's name, it's just a word. Like, you know what I mean? It's an injury, but it's like hearing someone has a hamstring or whatever. There's so much that can go into it, and it is really scary. Like, I know everyone is different, and I don't know that you know how many you've had or what have you, but can you give us a little behind the scenes on, like, what that actually entails and means for you this week?
Well, so anytime you have a concussion in the NFL, you go into the protocol, which is a very step-by-step, built-out process of you have to pass certain tests before you're able to move on to the next one, and you have to go through all these different tests until you're able to return to play. Then you do a few more tests, and then if you pass all those, then you're finally cleared to actually go back to contact. And so, like we mentioned, all concussions are kind of different, have kind of a life of their own. So that's what these steps are there for. You know, they start out very simple, you know, being able to just remember, being able to, you know, have different symptoms, see some type of, you know, gradual, you know, pullback, dissension of those symptoms is what they want to see first, and then maybe start doing some slow activity, stuff like that. So it's just a gradual comeback to play process that everyone has to go through anytime you have a concussion.
Makes sense. Austin Eckler won't play Sunday in Arizona. He's back here in the DMV. Team is out in Phoenix. We'll dive into, you know, what they might be able to do to move on without him. He's been arguably their best offensive player this year, so it's a big loss. In game, do you know right away? Like, it happened right after your long kick return on that 3-yard run off right tackle inside the 10-yard line. It seemed like maybe you were grabbing at your ear. It was like your ear ringing, and then you go into the blue tent. I saw the red hat walk to the sideline because we were in the stands in Cincinnati. Do they just tell you it's up to us now, or like what is the machinations in game?
No, I mean, yeah. So I got hit, and then I honestly didn't know what the heck was going on, and so I knew I was done immediately once I got into the tent. I actually, when I was in the tent, I didn't even remember how I even got in the tent.
Wow,
gosh,
Yeah, I kind of was. They were asking me questions, and I'm like trying to think, like, did I walk over here? And so that was what I was dealing with. So I mean, anytime you have that scenario, you know you're not going back in the game. And then you kind of just, you know, go through the protocol, go in the tent, go in the back room, and then at that point it's just kind of, all right, get ready. And then so my ear, I was holding my ear, which I didn't even know until I really got into the locker room or actually in the tent. They were like putting like gauze on my ear because apparently there was a giant laceration in my ear. I'm like, how the heck did my ear get cut open?
You know, is that from your helmet? That's weird.
I don't know. It must have. Yeah. It must have been. You know, and so I have like 4 stitches in my ear right now. So straight up ear hole. You know, that's the definition of an ear hole right there.
No doubt. And then your wife, I know, was there seeing her social, and I don't know what other family. But I'm sure you got to fire off a text because they're worried. Like, what's that part of it like?
Yeah, so this is one thing I really appreciate about Washington out here. Like, they do such a good job with just family and everything like that. So they were the ones contacting Dylan, our player director out here, is contacting my family, my mom, my wife, letting them know, hey, he's alert. Hey, this is what's going on. Just keeping him up to date. And so really, really just, you know, great family-oriented, you know, organization over here. And so they definitely did their job there in keeping my family up to date.
That's good to hear. Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. So the trivial part, obviously, we're first and foremost concerned about you and your health, et cetera. But the trivial part, the football part, you were rolling in that game, dude. Like, that was the Austin Eckler show. Kickoff return, the touchdown where everybody's flat-footed and you're on your way to the house. Like, that first drive was the Austin Eckler show. You were crushing in this game. You're going to finish with a whole mess of total yards and all the fantasy points you could muster. What were you feeling before all the badness?
So, I mean, you know, it's funny because last year, first game of the year, high ankle sprain, I come back, ankle sprain on the other side too. And so I'm dealing with these flipping ankles the whole year, and everyone's like, oh, this kid's washed. Like, Austin's done. He's done. And it's like, well, if I didn't have, you know, prohibited foot of feet, then I'd be able to run.
Yeah.
And so now I'm finally healthy, back on my feet, and, you know, feeling like my old self again, you know, back when I was running for 1,600 yards, 20 touchdowns. And so that's what you're getting. When I'm healthy, this is what you're going to see on the field. Like, that's kind of what I've been doing for a while now, and that's what you can expect to see as you've been able to, you know, for the first 3 weeks here.
Five touches for 57 yards, basically, in a half of football. The couple of catches and the three carries and then the monster kick return, which we'll get into. So you had the first run of the game on first down, set up a second and short, and then you catch the ball on second and down to single-handedly move the chains. I'm imagining that first play is on the first 10 or 15 script, right? Like, when do you know that the first play is a handoff to you? Did you know that on Friday?
I think it's a little different here because I'm the returner as well. So I think they want to see, okay, is he going to be fresh? Is he not? You know, and so, oh, hey, it was a touchback. All right, Austin, you're in the game. So Brian and I were actually in the game at the same time right there. So I'd love to see that personnel. Let's get both of us out there, you know, two playmakers on the field. So that one was when, hey, touchback. All right, Austin, you're in the play. Let's run it. And so, yeah, we knew.
And then that first catch to move the chains, are you the primary on that? Or was, like, is that another one where you know it's coming to you?
Yeah, I don't
know
if you saw that play, you know, but I was, like, hiding behind the left tackle.
Yeah.
I'm, like, really down low. I don't even think actually they saw me under there. And so, because they didn't react to me at all going out to the flat. A little sad I didn't get more out of that. But, they, you know, the corner did a good job reacting. But, yeah, definitely the primary. We're trying to hide me and get me to the flat and, you know, pick up at least the first down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason I ask you, you know, in that way is first two plays go to you. You had a screen shortly thereafter that was a big gainer across midfield. It just seemed like you were a huge part of the game plan to get everything going in the right direction. And I just wonder what that does for not only your confidence in this offense with Cliff, but maybe even to make you feel good about what you mean right now to this group.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that, you know, you have to build trust within your coordinator that, hey, we want to get this guy the ball in different ways. And I think that's what you saw play out there. Like, literally, it was, you know, a run off the edge with two running backs in. Then we stayed in. Then, I'm in this awkward position running a slide underneath. And then all of a sudden you're throwing a screen to me. You know, I'm running the ball up the middle as well, you know, on my touchdown. So I'm being utilized in different ways, which is exactly what the conversation that I had with Cliff at the beginning of the season was like, hey, but there's different ways I'd love to be utilized. And, you know, having me moved around is definitely going to be a benefit for us because I feel like I can execute in different parts of the field. And, you know, having that confidence with him having it in me having it in myself and going out there and not letting him down, probably going to see more of it.
Yeah, for sure. Austin Eckler with the Serial G&D. And speaking of confidence, I mean, you guys, you know, to get to the level that you guys play at and go through what you guys go through, you've got to be supremely confident, and it's deserved, right? You're the best athletes on the planet week in and week out. Even with that baseline level, Austin, here's my question. When do you know that you're going to have a performance, not just you, but as the team, where do you have a feeling at some point, like on a walkthrough during the week, where it's like, dude, we are about to woodshed this team. Like, we are about to put up all the points and all the yards, and Tressway, take a break. You're not punting. Like, at what point do you know? Is it even during the game where you're like, they cannot stop us? Like, when did you know that for this week?
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, during the week, you know, you're really just focused on yourself You know, sure, we have their looks and everything like that, and we have our scout team that's running their looks, but it's coming down to us running our details, making sure we're in the right spot, right time, right rhythm, practicing different cadence, different scenarios. It's all Commanders, right? Commanders, Commanders, Commanders. And so then we get to Sunday, and that's really where the new challenge starts. Now we're actually going against our opponent. And so we have, obviously, you know, we're fresh, they're fresh, they think they're going to win, we think we're going to win. Like, there's no telling, like, oh, yeah, our game plan is going to, like, wreck these guys. Like, you really don't know. Every game has a life of its own. And, you know, good things happen, bad things happen, but it's not the end of the world. You continue to overcome. And so we get into the game, and they, you know, score on the first drive. We come back, we score on the first drive, and it's like, okay, here we go. Seems like we're going to be some type of dogfight, back-and-forth kind of game. And sure enough, it played out like that. It doesn't always sustain itself like that, but it just turned into one of those games. Sometimes you have the opposite. Sometimes you have a blowout. And so you kind of take it with what it is of, okay, what is our details? Where are we at in the situation? We'll react from there and try to give it our best that we can.
Our weekly segment with Austin Eckler. As a reminder, every Tuesday at 5, Austin joins us here on Grant and Danny. But because of the injury on Monday Night Football, he was kind enough to make time for us today and fit one in this week here on Friday. But it's presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, presented by IT Cadre, where DC sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin live on G&D. Speaking of Tressway, Danny just mentioned him. He's the punter on the team, by the way. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
May not remember him.
You may not have met him yet or known him. What do you have against him? Like, why don't you guys like Tress? He's just trying to punch that time card and work like everybody else.
So Tress is one of the guys in the locker room that, like, everyone really respects. Like, he's the guy that's asking everyone, you know, how they're doing, you know, how's, you know, your wife, how's, like, he's the guy that everyone's like, you know what, like, everyone's got a genuine respect for Tress. So he's one of those guys in the locker room. So he's definitely not going unnoticed, you know. He's still out there holding it for the field goals and stuff like that.
We've known Tress for so many years. When I was on the beat for 4 years, he was on the team early on in his early days. And so we had him on the show on Tuesday after the big game just to ask if he was still alive and just to tell him how impressed we were on the holds on those 5 extra points.
You're such a good holder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been great how he's been embracing it. Look, eventually we're going to have to punt. You know, this run is great, but, you know, eventually, you know, football is football. You're probably going to have to punt one or two. So he's got to keep himself ready for sure.
So you may not have been able to see it. I'm sure you've been able to go back and watch it. But in your stead, Jeremy McNichols has a hidden play that now has kind of made its rounds on social media and the like on that incredible touchdown to Terry McLaurin. He's picking up a blitz, and he knocks some, you know, linebacker blitzing onto his tuchus. And it's like now everybody's like super excited about that sort of thing. You know, those kind of hidden plays, I think, are just so cool for you guys and for fans and everybody to kind of revel in that when a performance is so cool or so great like it was on Monday night. Have you had a chance to talk to him about, you know, about that and then maybe about his role here over the time where you're not going to be around?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that out because I was laughing so hard when I saw him. He was trying to cut the guy, and the guy's legs like got kind of caught up on his back, and then he kind of like flipped him. And I texted him like a couple days after. I was like, "Hey man, that cut block on that throw was absolutely hilarious."
Love it.
Because it's not supposed to look like that, but it just kind of looks funny because of how it kind of played out. But shout out to Jeremy getting in there and getting it done, and he's gonna have to continue to do that, you know, coming forward here because I have to fill my spot there and, you know, take a bigger role in the running back position.
Austin, what did you make of Jaden Daniels' performance? 2 incompletions, his first 2 touchdowns, and on top of all of that, we finally saw the ball go down the field. He dropped a couple of deep shots in buckets.
Yeah. I think this is, you know, him coming into his NFL self. Like, he is still young. He's only played 3 games. You know, and so he's going to continue to learn, to try some stuff. You know, we're going to have new schemes that are put in that maybe weren't in the week before that he likes a little bit better. So he is going to continue to evolve in this game, and who he is today isn't going to be who he is, you know, even in the next game or the game after. He's going to continue to get better, and that's what's great if you have a rookie that gets off to a great start is, hey, they have a jump start, and they're learning, and they're having success. And so that's exactly what we have right now is that, hey, we have a young guy in there at the helm, at the quarterback position. He's having success. He's finding his rhythm, finding a groove for him that works with the team that we have around him as well. And, you know, it's not necessarily luck, but it's just not common, I think, to really see that type of success super early. For me, I've kind of seen it with Justin Herbert and now with Jaden. So I've gotten lucky with the rookie quarterbacks coming in. But I'm here to help support him and make him look as good as we possibly can. And I know the rest of my teammates are too.
Austin, how would Austin Ekeler replace the absence of an Austin Ekeler type, say, in an offense that's been going pretty good over the last couple of weeks? What needs to happen?
It's tough. It's like, that's one of the questions, like, hey, if you lose like a someone on the team that has a key role, how do you, I don't think you necessarily replace them, but you say, okay, who else do we have that can step up? How do I utilize them to their strengths? Because you can't say, okay, go do all the things that Austin does, which would, like, the same thing if it say, hey, me, go do all the things that Brian does or some other running back. It's like, that's not fair to that person. You have to treat them as if they're their own player. Which is kind of great for us because our weeks are basically almost a new game plan in every single week. So, all right, this is the players that we have this week. Here's the game plan based off of these players. So I don't think it's about replacing me. I think it's about getting other people activated in other ways that maybe doesn't involve Austin now.
Makes sense, I guess. I mean, it just seems like you've been so instrumental, both running the football and, more importantly, catching the football. Like, B-Rob can do that. We saw it last year even from Sam Howell. It's a part of his game that's undervalued, but they don't really have another version of you. What's McNichols? We haven't seen him a lot. Like, is he more of an Ekeler style back or a little bit more of like a Robinson thumper?
I would say he's definitely more of an Ekeler style, just as far as body type anyway. But that's not fair to say because, you know, he might be a little faster than me, actually. Well, he definitely is a little faster than me, so that's going to be an advantage for him over me anyway. But like, it's not like an apples to apples type thing,
right?
But he's probably 5'10", you know, you can see him on the depth chart, whatever he's listed at. Like, he's more my size. So you're gonna get more probably my type of runs other than B-Rob at like 6'2", you know, 230, trying to run dudes over like that.
I guess I mean more like, is he a traditional, like, B-Rob is a thumper you can throw the ball to, and you're a guy, get him the ball in space, and you better bring help because no one's getting him on the ground because he's shifty. Like, I didn't know what McNichols' like game is.
Yeah, I would say more the latter there, for
okay.
Sure.
So you've been on some good teams and some teams that, you know, came in second a decent amount, Austin. And here's what I'm wondering. Before you got here, as a lifelong Washingtonian and someone that you know, loves the team and has seen all the ups and downs, something that's usually happened in the past is a big win will happen, whether the team's good, bad, or indifferent. You see like a big, huge victory that maybe people didn't necessarily expect or however it goes. And then there's always kind of the subsequent two steps back or kind of a rug pull, a letdown. How do you prevent that as a guy that's been around? And I know you're not there in Arizona with the squad, but that sort of thing where there's another game coming and nobody cares about last week this week, right? Like, I've seen teams just sort of collapse afterwards. How do you prevent that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to your leadership on your team. You know, and me considering one of the leaders on the team, it's coming back to keeping people focused on what matters, which is the details of this week. The details. Hey, what are the details of this week? And that's something I always preach literally every single day. I'm yelling out there, details, details. Hey, lock in on the details. Here we go, offense is up. Guess what? Lock in on the details. Because guess what's going to help you win games on Sundays? Regardless if you just came off of a blowout that you won or lost, or it was a close game, right? We have new details. We have a new game plan. We have to go out there and execute to the fullest of our ability. And how do you maintain that if you have something good? Well, that means you've done something hopefully good in the past. We're coming down to your fundamentals and your preparation. So how do we replicate that? Well, let's keep preaching the same thing. And it comes down to your culture, comes down to your leaders, comes down to how each individual person's attacking the week. It's not something that you necessarily turn on and off. It's really a gradual build. That's why culture is such an important topic when we're talking about football teams, because it comes down to how you prepare, how you go out and play, how you hold yourself accountable, how you set a standard, all these things that come into helping you be consistent during the year.
What'd you think of the team staying out there and just going straight to Phoenix? I kind of like the possibility that you don't come home and all your buddies aren't telling you how good you are for a few days. They just got right back to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're out here for. Dan Quinn says, look, we're not out here, you know, to rebuild or do whatever, you know, some of these people say about us. We're out here to win football games. Like, that's why we're hired. We didn't get hired to win next year. We get hired to win right now. And so if that's what he sees as the next step, hey, we got to go straight out there because it's a short week and we don't have to waste time flying around all of this. Let's go. We're here to win games. That's our job. So if that's what he wants, that's what we're going to do.
chance to get to 3-1 in Arizona will be a tall order without our guest, Austin Eckler. But the guys are getting ready to tee it up on Sunday. How will you watch the game? This has to be so weird for you. Are you just going to be in your living room?
I freaking hate it, man. I hate it so much. I remember, I believe it was 2020. Hurt my hamstring pretty bad. Had to watch like 7 games from home.
Oh.
And I remember just doing push-ups. Like, I just get mad. Like, I'm just, like, mad.
It was angry push-ups.
Like, I'm not there. Like, I'm still in game mode, but not there. So I have no way to, like, kind of blow off steam or my energy. So, I'll do some sit-ups. I'll do some core. Like, my fiance, she's like, why are you, like, so intense right now? I'm just like, well, just, you don't understand, you know?
Will you watch by yourself, or, like, is it cool if people are in the room?
Well, my wife's here, so we'll probably watch it together. But she knows how I am on game day, so it'll be an intense viewership.
Yeah.
That, by the way, that turn of a phrase is perfect, because that's how us crazy people do it, intense viewership every week. That's what we do.
Yeah. It's not like a casual, let's just have a nice combo.
It's not time for conversation.
It is locked
in. Right. This is my job. This is not. I'm not here as a for-fun viewer. Like, I'm supposed to be out there contributing to the team so I can keep my livelihood in this league alive.
What's
so
cool,
when I'm watching it and not there, I'm like, I feel like I'm missing that, you know?
Totally. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of us watching the game, we're just kind of seeing, oh, okay, what are they doing here? Like, you're in the script. You're like an actor in the movie watching the movie. So you're like, oh, this is that play. Oh, I see.
Yep. Luke,
watch Luke. Luke's about to come in the backfield. Like, you got the whole thing ready to go. I guess there might be one or two wrinkles this week they install that you haven't seen, but it's not like it's not in the playbook, right?
Yeah, I keep up with everything still. I still watch the practices out there. I'm still a lurker. I'm a lurker from the sidelines. You know, I'm going to make sure everyone's – if I see something, I'm going to text somebody, like, hey, man, what the hell is this? you know, like, you got to make sure that everyone's being held accountable for the details, you know, so when I watch it, I know what the heck I'm looking at. But, yeah.
Austin, great to hear it, man, and thrilled, honestly, that you were on the mend and the arrow's trending up there. Obviously, first and foremost, concerned about you and the fact that you're getting better is awesome. Can't wait to see you back on the field, but I appreciate the time, as always.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, boys.
Thanks, buddy. There's our guy, Austin Eckler. He will be out on Sunday. Commanders go to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. IT Cadre makes that segment possible every week. IT Cadre's trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Let's hit some props, some over-under projections for some of the Commanders' starters without Eckler this coming Sunday next on G&D. I got a feeling things could be looking up for a little over-under props this week with the Commanders' offense breaking out. Last week when I introduced the segment, I said, Danny's going to take all unders, which pretty much happened. I'm going to take a couple of overs, but I didn't have a lot of faith in the receivers. I think we both might give some more overs out this week.
Yeah, so all my overs are typically, I gave overs on Ertz, catches and yards, hit. Overs on Austin Eckler, catches and yards, hit. And
no, it didn't, because he got hurt.
His yardage over did. Catches total didn't. And then every over for the opponents when it comes to passing the football. All the hits. Thing where I was wrong, McLaurin.
Anything where the Commanders did well offensively.
No.
Other than
just the receiver part.
Eckler and Ertz. But regardless, we don't need to re-legislate last week. The point of the dude's story is it is time to do a little over-under. Find the props on FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook. The app that we'll use will bring in our producer, Daris the Dad Dameron.
Love you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
What do you got?
Oh, that never gets old. Let's start with QB1 for your Washington Commanders. They have Jaden Daniels' passing prop set at 215.5.
Climbing 215.5. I will say under. I think Washington has him run around a little more. I think this is like a 12 or 13 carry game. I could see him running for 70 to 80 yards, something like that. A big Brian Robinson game. I think he's around 200, but I just don't see him going for, you know, last week it was 250. I don't think he replicates that. I think they surprised the Bengals a little bit with the vertical passing game. I think the Cardinals will be prepared. I'll say a slight under on 215.
Remember, again, those hidden yards with Austin Ekeler that add up, right? Those little dump-offs that go for 12 and 7 and 14, they're not available to you. You don't have them this week. So
Ekeler just joined us, seemed to think McNichols could do some of that.
He did, and I love Austin Ekeler for it, but this is old Randy Duhier not quite buying that. I got a slight under on this one. I think there's the rushing fader, spoiler alert, will be turned up a little bit.
How about the opposing quarterback, Kyler Murray, who's only faced the Washington Commanders once in his
over.
Career?
Over. Oh, sorry. You weren't done yet.
So much over. Over, over.
230 over. And a half.
Oh, sorry. You weren't done yet.
Dentist appointment, over.
I thought you said 430. Over. No, 230 and a half. Easiest over. The lever over.
Yeah, it's going over. They can't stop anyone.
All right. We'll move on to the rushing props. Brian Robinson, his rushing prop is set at 67 and a half.
So it's interesting because I was actually thinking of, it should be higher than normal. Normally he's in the mid-50s, low 60s because it's him. I mean, he's the whole kit and caboodle this week. I will go over for Brian Robinson. I think it's like an 18-carry, 72-yard game, something like that.
Yeah, 18 for 80 is what he does in this game on the ground. He's going way over that total.
Jaden Daniels' rushing prop is set at 47 and a half.
That is a hammer over. I mean, that is 47 and a half? I think there's a better chance he rushes for 100 than goes under that. I will say Jaden Daniels is in the 70s in this game.
Yeah, I think he goes over this total, too. I'm scratching my head, not actually, but figuratively going, why is that one on the low side? What am I missing here about this? I think he went under this total this past week, but I think one less receiving option, one more Jaden Daniels scramble here or there, and you go over that total. I think that's a hammer over.
Seems like it. I will say quarterback rushing totals are never that high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you look at Lamar, peak of his powers, it's normally in the low 50s.
Yeah. I mean, Kyler Murray, who's got averaging 55 yards a game, is over-unders at 33.
That's what I'm saying. But the rushing for quarterbacks is always lower than you think. I don't think I've ever seen a Lamar over maybe, you know, upper 50s might be the highest it gets for him, even when he's running all over the place, because the expectation is just that there aren't going to be enough opportunities as the game goes on. But 47 and a half seems easy for me.
Danny just mentioned this one. We'll go to the opposing quarterback. Kyler Murray's rushing prop set at 33 and a half.
So I've got a slight over on this one. I don't think it'll be as robust as it's been through 3 weeks because I don't think Washington pressures him a ton. So to me, his you know, big plays in the running game are those scrambles, you know, those 7-yarders, maybe the cutback here or there that go for 10 to 15. I think this is a slight over, but it's not like a huge banner rushing day for him.
He ran for 57 against the Bills. There wasn't a lot of second-half urgency offensively until Buffalo came back. He ran for 59 against the Rams, and then he ran last week for 45 against the Lions. So he has cruised past this number 3 times. He'll be 4 for 4. He will go over that total.
The opposing starting running back is one James Conner, whose prop is set at 66 and a half.
This one's close. They can stop the run better than people think. And I know everyone thinks that's insane. In week number one, they shoved it on Rashad White, who couldn't run at all. And Tampa Bay's not a great running team. Yeah, I don't know how great Arizona is at running the football. Kyler Murray's great at running the football. James Conner's not very dynamic. I think they do an okay job. I think this is a slight over, but this isn't like a layup to me. I think he ends up like right around 70 yards.
James Conner went for $120 in week 2, for what it's worth. He's been under this total in the sandwich games. Week 1 against the Bills, 16 attempts for 50 yards, 3.1 per. And then last week, 9 for 17, a long of 7, 1.9 per. I'm going to say under. I don't think they need to run the ball all that much. Maybe he gets over to it at the end of the game if they have a lead. But I actually think Washington may well win this game. I think it's going to be back and forth, and I think that they're going to throw the ball predominantly and get what they want through the passing game, so I'll say under for him.
All right, over to the receiving side. Terry McLaurin broke out last week with a 100-yard game. They have his prop set at 52 and a half.
Under on this one. I would love to be wrong a second straight week, but I've got 2 weeks where there's not much production there, 1 week where there is, and if I'm Arizona, I'm going, that's the only thing I'm scared of right now with this offense. I can live with Zach Ertz underneath. I can live with Noah Brown or Luke McCaffrey underneath or Brian Robinson thumping. I can't live with over the top, which was the easy button twice for Washington. I'm going to do everything I can to take that away. So I think he's back to those more meager totals this week.
He'll go over 52 and a half. It's not going to be 100 like it was last week. The 55-yarder did the heavy lifting there. But he's going to get 7, 8, 9 targets every single game. He's going to catch five, six, seven balls most games. And if you put up, you know, 11, 12 yards per contest, you get him up over this number. I think, well, I haven't seen some of the 15 to 20 yard stuff that he's always majored in here, those square ins, those digs, the middle of the field just doesn't seem like a big part of their offense. One of those has to be coming at some point. We also saw a couple of plays where Daniels, while leaving the pocket scrambling, reset and threw to McLaurin. Tells me they're getting on the same page in that plaster where, like, you're on the move and he's trying to just find space. It takes one of those where he gets you in some real estate and you go run for 25 after that and you're on your way. So I'll say over. I think he goes for something like, you know, six catches for 70 yards.
The security blanket, Zach Ertz. He's got his prop set at 29.5.
I'm always over on Zach Ertz right now. To me, this one's, like, I'll be wrong betting on Zach Ertz because the offense goes through him largely. Look at targets. Look at catches. Even when they had a half of football where they didn't do anything to tight ends, really, in Cincinnati, they came back to him. They targeted him five times and got him five catches in just one half against the Bengals. He hit his over. He's gone for 38, 62, 28 in the three games so far. He has not even been targeted as much as I expect. But I think it's a bigger Zach Ertz game because I think the pass rush gets home. The Cardinals this year, one of the 10 best teams in the league, rushing the quarterback. They're in the top eight in sacks per pass attempt. I think this is a game where the Commanders could have a hard time keeping Daniels upright from time to time. That means backside of the backfield, no Eckler, and tight ends, that Zach Ertz as safety valve.
Yeah, the no Eckler part. The targets go somewhere. I think they go to Ertz. Now, you may have him stand and chip or max protect every now and again to help out with some of those blitzes and the like. So TBD on that, but I do think he goes over that total.
In previous weeks, it's been hard to find a wide receiver prop other than Terry McLaurin. We've got two this week. Noah Brown set at 29.5.
Under 29.5. I think he has two or three catches. But mostly for him, it seems like in the 10 to 12 range. So I'll say like 2 for 28 or 3 for 27, something like that for Noah Brown.
Yeah, under on Noah Brown. But not, don't have a great feel for this one because he could be doing a nice job and not get targeted at all.
There could be a Noah Brown game coming, though, where he's good enough where he could go like 7 for 80 if they just don't involve McLaurin.
Yeah, catch somebody napping. Or, yeah, or you get a look that you like, et cetera, a matchup that you like.
And maybe that's this week.
Could
if the Cardinals say, Terry's not beating us. Like, we saw the film. That we're not giving him that. Let's send a safety over, bracket him that way. It's like T. Higgins on the backside when you feature Chase, where he's got, you know, the ability to get inside these players and box them out. That's Noah Brown's game.
Could be that. Yeah, this could be the week, but I've got an under.
All right, and the other one, and the final one is Luke McCaffrey. They got him set at 19.5.
Over. I think this is a big Luke McCaffrey opportunity. I think he's going to return kicks with Austin Eckler out at least partially. There's a chance Alamide Zaccheaus is involved in that area as well. I also think he's going to get a carry. Might be in jet action, you know, in the slot, but I actually think he could line up in the backfield. I'm telling you, there's a wacky, you know, opportunity there for Christian's little brother. But obviously, that wouldn't help him in receiving yards. I say all that to say I think he's going to have to be involved. Eckler said, it's not about replacing me. It's about getting other guys more active. I think that could be McCaffrey.
This was my sneaky suspicion as well. I think he gets six touches in this game. I think he goes over because, it's again, it might be out of the backfield. It might be gimmicky. It might be a little slot screen or something like that. You're going to see him a little bit more involved as things progress.
Commanders, Cardinals, 4 o'clock window on Sunday. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Next, our confidence points picks for week 4. Which games do we feel best about prognosticating? This is The Fan. G&D on The Fan, getting you ready for another weekend of football. Awesome slate in college games tomorrow. You got Alabama, Georgia tomorrow night to cap it all off at 7:30. Of course, the NFL on Sunday is going to be terrific, headlined by a great 1 o'clock window. And then you get to enjoy all that because the Commanders play at 4 against the Cardinals. Our football coverage on The Fan today presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro that just dropped. It is time to make our confidence points picks for Sunday's games. I don't even know if winning is important.
Mm.
Nobody really cares. Nobody remembers who wins. You just can't finish last, or you got to do an embarrassing photo shoot like our guy Darius is going to be doing in due time. But that's the end of the bad news for Darius. The good news is he's on a bit of a heater. He went 5 for 5 last week in confidence points picks.
I'm not clapping.
What are the standings looking like, Darius?
The standings have yours truly leading in first place with 26 points. Grant and Ryan are both tied with 25 points through 3 weeks.
And then Danny, someone else has a different point total. It's not important.
Yeah, it's 19 points. That's all. You can cover that. In fourth place is Danny Ruye.
All right, so let's get after it. The way this works is we get to pick any 5 games from the upcoming NFL slate, Sunday 1 o'clock through Monday Night Football. You assign each game points. We have 5 plays worth 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 points. Maximum of 15 can be earned in any weekend. We'll go in the order of the standings. Darius, you're up first.
This is my first time picking first, I think. My 5-point play, I got Cleveland covering -1.5. I know Cleveland stinks, but the Raiders are beat up. No Devontae Adams, no Max Crosby. I got Cleveland going out to Las Vegas and winning this one outright. Cleveland -1.5.
5-point play for me, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 0-3 in the Andy Dalton fiasco coming up. The Dalton game, I got the Bengals laying 4.5. I think Burrow just outduels them. The Panthers read their press clippings this week, think they're better than they are. Crash back down to earth.
My 5-point play is also the Bengals -4.5. I'm not buying the Red Rifle revenge game. I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals get back on track. It's going to be a nice day in Charlotte. So I think the Bengals offense will click and they will steamroll the Carolina Panthers.
And the offense was humming against Washington and their season's on the line. So why not?
The most important thing for me is to remember who stinks. And the Jacksonville Jaguars stink. Houston coming off a disappointing performance. They're back at home. They cover the 6.5.
2-point play. That'd be my 4-point play. Pittsburgh, -2.5 on the road at Indianapolis. They are going to get after Anthony Richardson. Pittsburgh wins 2.5.
4-point play, Darius. Get ready to strike up the band. The Washington Commanders are catching 3.5 in Arizona against the Cardinals. Even if they lose by a field goal, I'm still a winner. I think this is a close game, comes down to the final minutes. And if you ask me right now to pick a winner outright, I think the Commanders win the game on the money line. So I'm definitely taking them catching 3.5, feeling myself a little bit after seeing them light it up against Cincinnati.
My 4-point play, I have the Vikings +2.5 in Lambeau. I'm not sure about Jordan Love just yet, but I really like this Vikings team. I think the Vikings offense could put up maybe 25, 30 points, something in that area. I don't think the Packers will have the juice for that, so I have them covering and winning this game.
Recently, I've been picking a lot of favorites, and I'm in last place, so I'm going in the exact opposite direction. The Buffalo Bills, I think, are the best team in the NFL right now this minute. They are 2.5-point dogs against the Ravens. I don't feel great about it, but give me the Bills to cover.
3-point play, I have Tampa Bay covering that +1.5 versus Philly. Philly's another team coming down to Tampa Bay that's beat up. They might not have two of their top receivers. It looks like Devontae Smith is already considered out. I've got Tampa Bay beating that butt when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Bucs +1.5 as well for me. We're in lockstep. 3-point play here, Darius. Here's my reasoning why Tampa Bay is going to beat Philly. The Bucs are at home for a second straight week. There's a really, really high percentage of wins for teams that don't travel for multiple weeks. Similarly, on the other side, when you travel 2 straight weeks, you lose at a really high clip. Second straight road game for the Eagles. So those two things coming together, I like the Bucs catching 1.5.
I also have Tampa Bay +1.5. They dominated last year's postseason matchup. Different teams, different iterations. But to me, this is about Philly being so totally banged up. Their best playmakers on offense, minus Saquon Barkley, will not play.
Danny, you are last, so you're actually supposed to go fourth in this, but
Fine.
You're fine.
I'll let you know my pick is. It's Tampa Bay.
It's fine. It's fine. You're fine.
It's Tampa.
Buffalo +2.5 for me is my 3-point play. I think they're the best team in the NFL. I think Josh Allen has a field day, and I do believe the Bills will win this outright.
2-point play, I got Minnesota covering the 2.5. I think Brian Flores' defense is going to have Jordan Love a little shaky in his return, if he does indeed return.
I should audible to Green Bay just to zig when you guys are zagging, because that line doesn't smell right, and you're both falling victim over here. But we don't do any trade backs. You can't change your picks after you send them in. 2-point play, Steelers -1.5. Pittsburgh is the better football team. They will cover the number of 1.5 because Anthony Richardson's awful. He has good athletic traits. He can throw the ball farther than everyone else. You guys are suckers if you care about that. He throws terrible interceptions. He's completing like 48% of his passes. He's a tough watch. The Steelers' defense is awesome. They will cover win by 1.5.
I got 2.5. Is that what you guys have?
I also have 2.5.
Okay, 2.5. I'll take that move today. I not this morning, but I will take that and run with it.
I have the Seattle Seahawks. I think they going up against my Detroit Lions, plus 3.5 against them. They usually play Dan Campbell pretty tight as well. I'm not fully bought in on the Lions being that steamrolling machine that they were last year on offense. So I think the Seahawks are actually really good. I have them covering, but losing by 3.
Doesn't sound like a vote of confidence for Jared Goff over there,
no,
Larry.
JG16 still my MVP.
Okay.
Red Rifle. Revenge game. Buying. Carolina, plus 4.5.
Oh, let's go. Are the Bengals going to be 0-4?
No, they wouldn't buy a point.
Okay.
My one-point play, it looks like all four of us have made a pick on this game. I also have the Red Rifle covering that plus 4.5 Carolina over the Bengals.
One-point play, Will Levis somehow, some way, figures it out. Plus 1.5, the Tennessee Titans against the Miami Dolphins. Miami's just gross without Tua.
The Denver Broncos plus 7.5 going up against the Jets. I think Bo Nix will have a nice little day against that Jets defense.
Give me the Minnesota organization plus 2.5. I think they cover that number, even if the Packers win.
I should have gone Green Bay. Absolutely should have just audibled.
Smell test.
Broken our own rules. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, we'll give you the Commanders Cardinals official game prediction, plus the player to lock in on, and we'll get you ready for Nats baseball as they've got a 6:45 first pitch tonight, their final series of the season.